Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
And welcome to those folk that are online. It's good to have you with us too, being in an online context. Amen. So I know we're into the Christmas season, and Fleur's encouragement there not to get worldly in this time, I think, is a great encouragement. But also, I just sense the Lord. Also, I've got a scripture to read to you in the season, and don't take it personally, but do take it personally. Ephesians 5, verse 18 onwards to 20. Do not get drunk on wine. And I think that's a warning from the Lord to us. Just be careful in this season. That's not to get worldly in this process, but it says, instead, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit. Very important in this season to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. That seems quite difficult, so I do suggest in your home environment, play the worship songs, get the music playing, whether in the car, whether in the home environment. You know, we tend to be watching a lot of sport over this time, and we're looking at everything else, and we're watching the news, which is not necessarily wrong, but let worship be in your home, because it changes the environment in that. So if you're not one that has worship in your songs in your heart, put that in your environment and let that melody come. And then it says in verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this be a season of real thankfulness. You know, we can get so despondent where we find ourselves in this nation and what is happening in the world at the moment. And I wanted to say we need to be thankful in the things. We've still got life. We've got eternal life. We have a future. We have this gospel. We have an opportunity to share the gospel. And yes, load shedding is frustrating. And we're all going through those things. And yes, we're praying for our nation and pray for our nation in this difficult time. They really need God's wisdom how to deal with it. But let's be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. May you take time with your family to set aside in prayer and just say thank you to God for how good he's been to you. If you look upon your life this year, even though there's been ups and downs in the thing, there's a lot to be grateful for. And the Bible even says, even in the difficult things, be grateful and thankful, because when that attitude is right, you know, then you get content. When there's discontentment. And why are people packing for Perth? Because they're discontent. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm just saying is the reality. We people need to be content. And when you find contentment, it's not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent upon the God that is in you. Amen. I'd like to pray before we come under God's word. Father, we just thank you for the living word. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not just pen and paper and ink, but reality, as the word is spoken, it becomes life to us. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation to every one of us in respect of the word that you prepared today, in Jesus' name. Amen. This word came, I was sitting in Bujumbura, and I had a day rest, and I was just asking the Lord what to do, and this topic came up. And I want to be dealing with this aspect of laying on of hands. And it's a topic that I don't believe it's been dealt with very often in the life of the church. And I'd like to just delve into it because I think it's a very practical thing. It applies to every one of us. It's something not just for those in leadership that do it, but it's for all of us to apply. And I believe it's a principle of the doctrines of Christ that needs to be outworked in the church. So we all know the terms, if I lay hands upon you, we know that from the boxing fight, you know, if I'll lay hands. And it seems our hands come into all our spoken when we talk and we say, well, we'll hand you over to the authorities. There's the aspect of the hands. And I wanted to say, God created us. And he gave us these incredible appendages called two hands and 10 fingers. And take your hand away from you, and you'll realize how stymied you are. You can't eat. You can't do the basic things in life. Hands are so important. Hurt a finger, and your whole body hurts. Is that a reality in the things? And God sees these hands as something, as a wonderful extension of who he is in the world that we live. But God also, I know God is spirit, but God has also got a hand, and it says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God is extending his hand too. We will see even in the Old Testament where God extended his hand, and his hand moved, and very powerful. And it says righteous right hand, that his righteousness and his the right hand normally is the strong hand. His righteous hand moves across. And also Psalm 118, verse 15, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things. So God wants to express his hands, but how does he express his hands today? As God is spirit, but we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and he carries the process of vision and understanding and leading and guiding us. But we are the hands as the body of Christ. These hands, as you look at your hands there, they might look at your physical body, but because you're in Christ, these are the hands of Christ. And God wants to use them. And the only way he can use it, because he dwells within us, and as he works through us, he wants to use these hands to bring glory to his name, and he wants the expression of who he is to overflow in our lives. Now, the Jewish way, in we see that we get a lot of our outworking of who we are. There was a ritual that when people were put into authority and wanted to pray for blessings, there was a praying of putting hands on. And that's where we get it from. Where the scriptures comes into the New Testament, we take it from the Jewish way, is that we lay hands. And that's where the scripture comes, and we're going to go and delve into those things, what it is to lay hands. But the text I want you to turn to is, I want you to return to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You all know it well, but this is the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fundamentals. I want to read that to you, and I just want to just delve in quickly, and then I want to get into an outworking of what laying on hands is, and a very practical outworking of that in our lives. So, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death, and faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So these are fundamentals, and it's surprising in the church today that much of this is not even taught, but it's the elementary things, and a lot of the Christians don't understand that. And we've got to delve into this. So I want to just go through quickly what are some of the basics. There's a bit of a pairing here in the fundamentals, and I'm not going to go into the depth of it, but just open it up a little bit to us. What is the first fundamental that we're looking at? The basic repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God aspect. There's got to be an outworking of repentance in all our lives. Repentance is not always identifying sin, but it's seeing what is wrong in our lives and doing that 180 degrees turn. There was instruction in the military when we were doing marching, when you had to do an omkir. And omkir is a 180 degree turn. So as we say, you're not following the world, you're following God. So you turn around and you go in a different direction. And if you're going in the wrong direction and you know you're going in the wrong direction, ask God to help you to turn around and to go in the right direction. Then faith in God. Faith in God is an absolute important thing. It's not by works. You know, good people don't go to heaven, but it's faith, people that believe, that have faith in God. And faith is going to be tested. You cannot please God but without faith. And all of us need to express faith in all that we are living. We trust God. That's the foundation, our relationship with him. Faith has got to be a reality. If you're not living in faith, and I'm not saying when you go through difficulties that faith sometimes is difficult, but you trust God and God will come through for you. The second grouping is the baptisms. the baptism. So there's a number of baptisms. There's baptized into Christ. When you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us we are baptized into Christ. He comes to live inside of us. We enter into Christ. And that's where the New Testament talks about us living in Christ. We become new creatures. We have experienced born again, the new birth. Then there's the water baptism, an outward sign of an inward grace. When we understand what God has completed inside of us, that's why we go through the waters of baptism. And I hope you're all water baptized. Are you all water baptized? It's very important to declare before those around you and the world that you belong to Christ. And then baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is where Jesus said to his disciples, wait till you receive power from on high. So that's the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Very, very, very important. It changes because Jesus realized that was an imperative for the outworking of the gospel to go forward. Then the laying of hands, which I will deal with. Then the resurrection of the dead. And this is an important thing because there are two resurrections. There's the first resurrection, and there's a number of resurrections in that, and I'm not going to go into the fullness of that, but it's Christ's resurrection, that we were crucified in him and buried him and resurrected him and ascended in him. And there's a number of scriptures that go through that, and I'll just enumerate them to you, and you can do some study on that. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6:4, buried with him through baptism into death. Romans 6:6, our old self was crucified with him. Ephesians 2:4-6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So this is an important resurrection. is a key aspect of the outworking of our faith. If we don't believe in resurrection and we don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, we are to be pitied. We are to be pitied because it's the fundamental understanding that we can't just live this life here and believe that there's no resurrection. We are resurrected in Christ, but then we're going to be resurrected to be with him forever and ever. Heaven is our home. We are heading there. That's where our Father dwells. That's the Father's house. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare many rooms in my Father's house for you. That's where we are headed, and that's the glorious hope that we have. Then there's the resurrection of believers, and then we get to this the outworking of a rapture, which is the coming of the Lord, and we see that in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, talking about the rapture, where Jesus will come and collect us. And I believe that the collection of the Lord coming to that is imminent. The Bible doesn't tell us when. The Bible tells us all the stuff that's going to be happening in the tribulation and all those things, but it says the rapture can come like a thief in the night. We have got to be ready. It talks about the 10 rung virgins, that 5 were ready and 5 were unprepared. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. We've got to be serving our God. We've got to be in the things of God, because it can come, the bridegroom can come for his bride at any time. We have to be prepared. So I believe that's imminent. Do I know the exact time? No, I don't. But I do believe we've got to prepare the church to be ready for our soon returning Lord when he comes to rapture his church. And that comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And then when we get there, there will be the reward. It talks about 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8. I'm just glimpsing over verse 10, chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive what is due to him for the things he's done while in the body. I really believe when we come before the Lord, we're not going to be there for judgment for sin and death. We have been judged in Christ. We have been found not guilty because of what Christ has done for us. We're going to go there to receive reward. And we're working for reward. And if you don't believe that, I want to tell you what you do on earth has an impact of eternity. So don't mess up on earth and don't mess around with the things of God. Do what he tells you to do. Don't be burdened by the thing, but actually realize, bold here, that you have eternity, that you have a reward for there, because you cannot get more there when you get there. It depends on what you do here. So be faithful to the Lord in this time. And then there's the second resurrection at the end of the millennium and constituting the second death, where Jesus is the judge. And no longer a gracious God, he judges, and where men will go to the eternal fire forever and ever, which is very scary. And that's why we preach this gospel. We preach the love of Christ. We preach that he paid the price for sin and death, but also a warning that hell is a reality, that men are going to hell, And you're all facing people with that reality in their lives every day, that the people do not know Christ, they're not serving him, and their destiny is destruction. Is that God's plan? Never. He provided Christ. He provided the way. Do they need to believe? Absolutely. Do you need to love them? Absolutely. Do you need to present the gospel? Absolutely. It's their decision, but continue to do that. And then the eternal judgment. There are many judgments that come in Scripture. I think the Scripture enumerates 7 judgments, and I won't go into detail, but I want to get into the detail of laying of hands. Now, very important in the life of the church, I really do believe this is for every one of us as we outwork this ministry that God's called us to fulfill. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13, he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the shepherds, and teachers or pastors to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we get stuck on verse 11 and talking about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the shepherds, but the emphasis is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't say to educate. Very important, the Scripture says equip. Now, equipping is actually to give you the tools to go and do the work of ministry. And every one of you has ministry. You don't just get born again and come into the kingdom of God. God has raised every one of us. It's all different, and it's very specific to all of us, and we all do a different outworking. But every one of you is called to minister the grace of God. Every single one of you. And God never intended to be and become lopsided, while some of the church, it becomes to the leaders or comes to the pastor. He's got to do everything. That is not God's plan. God's plan is for those that have been raised up to equip those. And it's like when we go into the African context, we can go into very often, we can go and we can go and give them food, but it's better to teach them how to grow food, to give them the seed that they can actually grow their own food and they can be productive in themselves. And the same with the kingdom of God, the same with the outworking of Christ. God wants to equip us to do ministry. And I believe one of the aspects of doing this is training you how to impart God's life to others. Now, this area of laying of hands over the centuries has been abused. There's excess, and some of the more formalized churches, it's become a ritual. They have seen the truth, but eventually it's become a place. It's faded away to become a ritual. They do lay hands, and they put people into places of authority by laying hands, but there's no power. The evidence of laying of hands is there. The ritual is there. There's a good feeling about it, but the evidence of power. The gospel is always to bring power. Then there's the excesses too, where we've seen under the full gospel churches, the Pentecostals and the charismatic circles, where they've got hold of this outworking of laying of hands, and they lay hands on everything. And that's also wrong. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God to do that. But I really do believe where we've got to, where the world has got to in the church, this has been lost. The laying of hands has actually been lost to the church. The church is not practicing it. They've got into, yes, and it's good to anoint with oil, but I'll get into the scriptures, but the scripture is for every one of us. There's got to be an outworking of these hands which represent the hands of Christ that to be released. So very, very important is Jesus was our example. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, the Lord came to bring salvation, but he also came to demonstrate salvation. And the same as that, you have received salvation, but now you need to demonstrate it. And that's why Jesus again said to the disciples, wait till you receive power on high, because I want you to go and do what I'm doing. That's what his intention was. You'll do greater works than I will do. And now he comes to equip us. And Jesus is our example. He was anointed. So the anointing is God's enabling. But he was anointed with the person, God the Holy Spirit. Very important. That's why we cannot do this and operate what God calls us to do apart of working with God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as much as Christ lives in you, the Holy Spirit is in you also. And he's a person, God, and you've got to work together with him. It's also a relationship that you have with him. But he's the administrator of the outworking of the church, and we are called to be led by him. And when we are led by him, we work in conjunction with him under his authority, and he guides and leads us. And then when we do that, it says here, Jesus also had the power. Now, the evidence that we see a lot in the church is that people talk about being anointed, enabled, and they talk about the Holy Spirit, but the power is not evident. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. Jesus' evidence of his ministry was the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, but power. There was an evidence of power, and that's the lacking that is taking place. But I want to say today, I want to trust that we're going to get this key to what God has for us today, is that the power will be imparted through the simplicity of outworking of faith on our behalf and the recipient wanting, having faith in their hearts to receive. So how does this practically work, and how does it practically work out in our lives? You know, my children have just written exams, and I think a lot of the children have just written exams, and I don't underestimate the power of prayer and the power of laying hands upon them and to trust God, because we've got an unfair advantage. Do you realize that when we write exams? We've got to study. We've got to work hard at these things, but we've got God in us, and he's on our sides, and he can give us the mind. But I just believe there's an impartation, these hands. And I do with my children, I'll put my hands upon them, and I pray for God's enabling upon them when they write these exams. And I'm a proud father today. My children did very well in these past exams. So I'm just rejoicing, and I give thanks to God for that. But I'm just saying there is something in this, of these simple things that you're in Christ, that these little hands impart something of the grace of God and the power of God that no one else has, that we can actually give. So that's just one little thing, but I'm going to go through some of the things that we... So we see in the Old Testament, when in Numbers 27, verse 22 to 23, where Joshua took over from Moses, there was a commissioning of laying of hands. And we see from that there was something of where God's hand, when God affirms, when the hands are laid upon it, there's a reality to that. There's commissioning took place. And Joshua was also raised up to lead Israel in that time. And it says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, that when Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So there's something of an impartation that wisdom, the Bible tells us that we need to pray for wisdom, but here Moses laid hands and wisdom was imparted for the role that he needs to do. I want to just say is that the role that God has enabled me to fulfill in the life of this church, if it wasn't for God's enabling and outworking of who he is, I could never, ever do this. I'm not that clever. I'm not that enabled. It's God that does these things. And I'm telling you, there's something of that that needs to be. So I want to just say, when I'm looking at this practically from your side, where you're working in your environment, whether you're raised up as a bookkeeper or you're a mechanic or you're a writer, trust God for the commissioning of that. You know, because that is your ministry. Whatever you are doing, trust God for this, for the wisdom and also the impartation of his grace to be able to do those things. And I don't want to do it now, but I want to just say there's something that you don't need me to come and lay hands upon you. You can do before the Lord. Lord, I just recognize you in the name of Jesus. I just release your enabling and your ability now in Jesus' name. So do you have to do it once? Yes, you can do it once, but if you want to just remind yourself, do it again, that you are enabled by God to actually do this. And then hand those businesses or whatever, hand them over to God. And let the Lord actually work this thing. And you'll be absolutely amazed. Your environment will be very different because, you've got an unfair advantage. You've got an unfair advantage because the world out there is doing everything in its ability and it's all its cleverness and all its degrees and all its wisdom. And yeah, you come and say, Lord, thank you. And you just operate. I remember there was a guy named Leon van Dahl who was the pastor, the lead elder at Cornerstone, and before he went into the ministry, he worked for Total, and he was in the design department. And he said, I'm in the design department. I'm not an engineer. I'm not qualified, but I know God's got on my side, and I'm going to trust God. And he said he came up with designs that the clever guys were dumbfounded because the Spirit of God. And even though over the centuries, if you hear the inventions that take place, it's still God that's inventing. He's still the creator. I don't know the details, but I know like the things like the carburetor and stuff like that. It was Christians that were there in the forefront actually working those things and going forward. So I really want to encourage you, God is on your side, and this is a means to release that. Second point is, there's this impartation. Very important, this impartation. It even happened in Exodus 29, verses 15 and 19 to 20. What they used to do to get rid of sin, they imparted sin they laid hands on rams, and that became sacrifices that they could release sin, and they could make the atonement for the sin. And same with Jesus, there was impartation where our sin, the sin of the world, was imparted to him. There was a release. In a sense, what they were doing when they were beating him and they were mocking him, they were imparting the sin of the world, and he carried that burden to the cross, and he paid the price. He became the Lamb of God. But this aspect of hands is that, just very practically, and before I get into the specific, there's when you operate in this thing, you must have faith. It's important. Without faith, it doesn't work. There's a faith to impart, and there's a faith to receive. So that's the test when you're actually doing these things and you're going to be doing and laying hands on people. You must believe that you're going to impart something. You're going to believe you're going to impart God's life. You're going to impart God's power. But the person receiving also must believe that you need to say, do you believe that you're going to receive? If they say yes, because that's faith. Okay, you're going to receive. And then there's this contact point. And these are the hands. There's nothing in your hands. But there's something of contact that takes place. I remember the late Corrie Ten Boom, the story I remember, she was in the concentration camp and they were treated very badly by the prison wardens. And one of the German, the SS men, she landed up preaching in Poland, and this man was in the service. And he came after the service, and he had given his heart to the Lord in that time, and he came up to her and asked her for forgiveness. And in her own strength, she said, impossible, Lord, I cannot forgive this man for what he did to me, and especially to my sister who had actually died in that concentration camp. But the Lord said, no, you need to. And she said, okay, Lord, I trust you. And he put his hand out to her. And in that contact point where she put her hand out to him and she touched him, she said there was liquid love that flowed through her and to forgive this man and to bring it together. It was a contact point. So don't forget, these hands is a contact point. You know, we use these hands to love. We use these hands to beat, which is not great. But these hands are places of encouragement, to be tender with one another, and we need to use them to bring glory to God. So I really just, I'm going to talk again about that. How do we do that to impart this life of God to those around us? The next point, setting in deacons and appointment of elders in Acts 6:6, they presented the deacons to the apostles who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. Again, there was an impartation, there's an anointing. So when you raise up into a role in the life of the church, you lay yourself down, you believe God's called you to that, but he enables you to do that work. It's not an ability that you have. It's not like getting a promotion in the workplace. Now you get a promotion, now you get a title, now you get a salary increase. In the church, it doesn't work like that. You get an anointing, but you get a demotion because you become a servant of all. That's what happens when you actually get into the role of the church. The same with elders. There's a fulfillment. Very, very important. Don't be hasty to just appoint elders in the life of the church. Very important. There's a process where we've got to hear God. We see there's the outworking of the will of God, but there must be a laying of hands for releasing of the anointing to do that work. Because you can, there are men that have been raised in the role in the church that are in places of leadership. They should never be in leadership. They've never been prayed for to have God's enabling and God's anointing and his power, and they do more destruction than good. They destroy people's lives. They bring worldly wisdom. They bring earthly understanding, and it brings destruction. It doesn't bring the life of God. And then also the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to read this from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. It says here, when the church met in Antioch, where the prophets and the teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So God's, the Holy Spirit, spoke into that context while they were, where they were worshiping God. So the church didn't just say, well, God has spoken, the prophetic word has actually come, now let's do. They went and fasted and prayed, is this your will, Lord? Is this your will? And when they had the confirmation from the Lord in their heart, this was the right thing. The confirmation is they went and prayed and laid their hands upon them. And there was an impartation again for the work that the Holy Spirit. And then we see Barnabas and Saul went out as the Holy Spirit led them and the work that they did into the nations and the missionary trips. So that's an important thing when we are sent out from the church, when we are sent out into our workplace, when we send out, when we go into nations. That's why I cherish when I do get opportunity to go to the nations that I'm prayed for, because there's an evidence. And I want to tell you, there's an evidence as I've been prayed for and I go into those contexts. God works in dimensions that it's not me, it's God himself. And I want to encourage you, that's for every single one that God sends us. Then the gifts or the outworking that God has in our lives also come in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So there's an aspect of time in our lives. We see the Bible scattered with gifting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it comes individually to us, but there's a time when there's a time of prayer and there's time of prophecy, and that's a confirmation comes. But again, it was laying of hands, a releasing of hands to impart. Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus prayed for the sick, and he would speak the word, and the word would be spoken. But it says in Nazareth, where there was a lot of unbelief, he could not do many miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. So Jesus also applied the laying of hands. He was our example to that. The circumstances were a bit different there, but he laid hands upon the people, and the people were healed. There was an evidence of healing at that time. The next point, giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 19, there was this man that with evil intent, he wanted the ability to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, give me this ability so that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. And then they pointed a finger and said, you got the wrong motive. But the inference here is that the gift of the Holy Spirit can also be given through the laying of hands. Now, that's very important when people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to just say it takes faith again. Very, very important. Lay hands upon people. I know when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, those many, many years ago, and we had some visiting Chinese Christians that we were working together with. They wanted to get Bibles into China, but they came and prayed, and they laid hands upon me, and there was an evidence of an impartation of the Holy Spirit, and was speaking in tongues, which was incredible, and it changed my life forever and still changing my life. And then the next point, do not be hasty in laying of hands. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. This is where we need so much wisdom when it comes to laying of hands. As I said, there's excesses that take place in the life of the church. This is why you need wisdom. This is why you need the Holy Spirit, because not everyone has the same spirit. And if you open up yourself and you get laid hands on people that haven't got the Spirit of God upon them and they've got the evil spirit in them, they will impart evil spirits to you. And it has happened. And even in those so-called Christian ministries, and I just hear my heart here and I'm not condemning, but sometimes those that have found themselves in deliverance ministries have caught themselves up in the wrong spirit and land up imparting. And I've read testimonies of people that have opened up themselves. They've gone for all this stuff and they've been set free, but they've got more that has come into them. But be very, very wise if you really just sense there's an impartation of other spirits where hands have been laid upon you and it's not of the Spirit of God. The foundation of laying of hands is in Acts 1:8. I'll get back to that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness with me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This release of power. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Power went out of Jesus. And we read the story in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. I'll read the story to you about the woman that had the issue of blood. I'll just read it to you. Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately a discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And the woman saw that she was not hidden. She came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So here this woman had an issue of bleeding for many, many years. She'd been to the doctors. Doctors couldn't do anything for her. But she had faith that said if she can touch Jesus, there would be an impartation. And she went with faith. She went with faith. And she touched. And Neil was just telling us when she touched, Jesus was Jewish. And the tassels that he wore on his hem, she touched those tassels. And that was what she touched, representing God's presence in his life. And he said, the Lord said, "Someone touched me." Why did he say someone touched me? Because he perceived power leave him to touch her. So there was an impartation indirectly, even by the Lord, that when someone came to touch him, and we are the hands, and when we touch, there's an impartation of power, and she was healed. And the Lord said, because she believed, she was healed. She had faith in him. Now that's absolutely incredible, is that the Lord operated. He doesn't call us to operate any different from how he operated. The power was within him. The power is within us. And we need to release. There needs to be a release of that power into other people's lives. So laying hands upon the sick and they shall recover. This is an indictment for all of us. We have doctors, we have medical aids, we have very clever people that can help us through medication, but do not discount the ability of God to heal. I think we've got to go first to the Lord, and I even want to suggest is what you do before you rush off to the doctor when you've got some issues, apply the scriptures to yourself and trust God to heal you first before you run off to the doctor. So I'm not discrediting the medical profession in any way. They've kept us alive for much longer, and God does use doctors. But I want to say he's given us a means to trust him. And in Mark 16, it's one of the commission, verse 16 to 18. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up serpents and with their hands. And they will, if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So Jesus gave us a direct instruction to go and lay hands on the sick. Now, James talks about come to the elders to anoint with oil, but I wanted to say for every single one of us, we have the ability. Your children, when they get sick, lay hands upon them. When your spouse is sick, lay hands upon them. I've even heard stories, and when your fridge doesn't work, lay hands on the fridge and it starts to work. I've seen that. And the washing machine. There's something of this incredible outworking, and I'm trying to minimize this thing, but there's something of the wonder of the power of God that he's given us. In Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, the synagogue ruler said, "Come lay your hands on my daughter and she'll get well." And Jesus went and laid his hands upon her and she got well. So Jesus was the one revealing that he could do that. In Mark chapter 7, where Jesus was taking this deaf man, he placed his hands upon his ears, and as the Holy Spirit led him, he touched with his spit and the man was healed. So incredible is that Jesus applied this in Matthew 8:15. He touched, I think it was Peter's mother-in-law. He touched her hand and the fever left her. So there's something of this touching of hands to do that. And also there's a practical outworking in Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, where this blind man came. And some people brought him a blind man and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of to the village. And when he spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then he laid hands on his eyes again and he opened his eyes and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. So Jesus even prayed for this man twice. So there's an evidence, and Michael Nicholas was here a few weeks ago. We was praying for us. There's a process at times when you're interacting with people. This is not just a dump. You're working together with the individual and you're asking them, is it getting better? And continue to pray. And I know Jesus prayed twice, but if Jesus had to pray, maybe we got to pray three or four times, just trusting God to do that. Because you see, we have to grow in faith. The recipient has to grow in faith. And God's word is true, and we've got to believe that the power of God is going to be released. Sometimes there's a physical manifestation. You might find the heat of God actually in your hands flowing through in those circumstances. Sometimes there'll be nothing. We cannot be prescriptive what God is wanting to do in those things. But the reality, there's an impartation we need to believe. And then we see that extraordinary miracles took place in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 12. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. So incredible, the representation. You can take your handkerchief, a cloth, and you can pray over it. Release the it seems like the power of God can be released into inanimate things, and when goes and put on other people, it brings healing and gets devils out, gets evil spirits out. And I think that's important, that you might have someone that's living far away, you can't get there, maybe someone carries a cloth to go and do it, and they go and pray for them and things. So these elements of working differently with the Holy Spirit, it's not just one thing fits all. The Holy Spirit's got to lead and guide these things, actually work so powerfully, and I'm really here to encourage you in that. Acts 5:12 says, many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles. So very important, hands are a key component in that. So in conclusion here today, I've really come to encourage you with this foundational outworking of the church that we need to be doing, because I really do believe God wants to impact not only your lives, but impact our community, to impact your families, and if you'll be bold enough to do that. So pray for people, but trust God also to lay hands on people. So my suggestion is when you doing this, always ask for permission. Don't expect people to do it. Go and ask them. I believe God wants to heal you, but can I lay hands upon you? And I think that's very important, because when you get permission from the individual that you're praying from, they open it up and they're actually extending faith, they're actually believing. And if they don't, that's fine, it's not a problem. But the reality, ask permission, being cordial, be courteous in that thing, and then you believe. Don't let them do all the believing. Don't put empty hands onto their heads or onto their bodies. You believe. It's very important. You must believe that you have the power of God. You must believe that you trust in God, and these are the hands of Jesus. And as you lay hands upon them, trust God. Now, don't get caught up for what the diagnosis is. As soon as we hear cancer, we get fearful. If it's a fever, okay, I can do that. But when it comes to cancer, it's not you. It's nothing to do with you. God instructs us to lay hands. And God's in the business of healing. Whether he heals or not is not our concern. You go and be faithful in that thing. And that's what I really want to encourage you. This has been given to the church. And God's going to measure that those rewards that we're going to get. It's not only your serving of God and your giving to God. Will you be faithful in the ministry that he's given you? And this ministry is for everyone. I want to be found faithful in this thing. I want to trust God for more opportunities to be where God puts people across my path that I can actually use these hands to bring glory to his name. And it shouldn't be, it should be on a regular basis. And I tell you now, if all of us start to do this, we're going to cause a wave of the Spirit. We're wanting revival. But let me tell you, revival's in your heart already. You have the power of God. We're just not doing it. That's the reality. And when we start to do it, and we're going to get it started, well, sure, do you know God actually healed? But that's why must you expect anything different? And I want to just say to you, you've got work colleagues, you've got family members, and I want to say, let's practice this outworking of laying of hands. And when you go to work, this is where you got to get bold. Or you're getting in the right, someone says, I'm not well. You see that as an opportunity from God to now to go and practice. And as I said, be cordial, ask if you can, and go and do it. And leave the rest up. You believe, and then you say, you get them to a place also that they can have faith in God. And I'm telling you, you're going to have one testimony that, wow, God moved. And then you're going to get stronger in this thing and begin to do those things. So is it in the area of healing? Yes. Is it in the area of imparting into your businesses, into what God's called you to do? Be led by the Spirit. I cannot be descriptive in everything and the application of the thing, but there's something. So don't get into the excess of the thing. Don't go and do it for everything, but be led by the Spirit of God. But don't ignore it. Listen to me, don't ignore it. Because I really believe God wants to impact your lives and the community that we find ourselves. I really believe many people, we read that scripture here, need to be delivered of demons. Many. And the world we live in here, the demonic is not so real because it's hidden. But let me tell you, if we trust God, because I know when I'm praying for some people, a lot of the influence there is not sickness, it's demonic. Now, we're not always meant to know what the demon is and go through a deliverance session, but I'm telling you, now, these laying of hands, it says here, they laid hands upon them and the evil spirits came out. And I want to trust you because there's no greater, you know, you can go to your doctor and he can give you the best medication, but he cannot get a demon out of you. We can. We can because we've got that authority. And I'm telling you, when people are set free and the liberty that comes to their life, they've been in bondage because you sit in their shoes. The bondage that they've been in, they're sinners like all we have been, and we've been saved by grace, but they're caught in this bondage. They don't even know why they're in this bondage, but they're in brokenness. And yeah, we come along and we look at them and think, you got a demon. No, they've got a demon, but they need to be set free. And if you come with the compassion of the Lord and the love of God and you want to see them set free, and you use this as a means, and don't have to get into a formalizing, God wants to set them free. Romans, Mark 16, and they will cast out demons. This is not a fancy thing. This is for all of us. And when I tell you the liberty that comes to people that are found in darkness, you know, I've got a family member that was caught up in Freemasonry, and I've been praying for him for ages, and he's going through a lot of sickness, and I went there on Wednesday. And I didn't tell him you were caught in Freemasonry and all those things, but the Lord said to me, just go lay hands upon him. And I said, can I just pray for you? And I didn't even say to him, I'm going to get this. But I've laid hands upon him, and I believe as I put hands upon him and I prayed a general prayer, there was an impartation, and I broke that authority of Freemasonry over him. Because he loves God, but he doesn't know God. And the reality, that thing can hold him back. And we have family members, we have work colleagues that are caught up in darkness. And maybe you're looking in the wrong place. And turn to this thing. Yes, go to the doctor, but actually let's trust the power of God that's within us to release something into us. I'm not your answer, Jesus is. And he wants to do the evidence in the old in the book of Acts was there was a proliferation of healings. There were signs and wonders. Why? Because the church was doing its work. Because the church has got to the place we expect the leaders to do it. Now we need to go to the leaders to go, now if we do it, and then you will have the testimony in that. The results, are they yours? No. They are God. But will you be faithful? in laying hands in the circumstances where God is, whether it's on your grandchildren, whether it's in your workplace. I don't know, be led by the Spirit of God, but I really come to encourage you. I was really stirred as I was in Bujumbura that just saw this was lacking in the church. The church has become institutionalized, has become structured, and the work, the organic nature of the church is not happening on the one-on-one and the individuals. And I just really want to encourage you, you have the power of God. If you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you've got Christ in you, the power of God, Christ is the power of God, and he wants to release himself. And the evidence, this is not for anyone else but you. And I want to just say, believe God, trust God, and let's do that. And you're going to go to places where I cannot go, and I'm going places where you cannot go, and I'm just trusting in that. So I'm not saying to be sneaky in any way, but work the situation, that knowing that God's given you an injunction to lay hands, take every opportunity to lay hands. So, you know, I know I'm going tomorrow to be with my family in Zimbabwe, and I've got to go and minister to some of that family there. And I know, as God's placed this in my heart, I need to go and lay hands on some of those family members, not to box with them, but to go and lay hands upon them, because there's an impartation that I'm trusting God to release into their lives. And what does that do? That will change their lives forever. And I know some of them are in darkness. I know that some of them have been blinded by the enemy. And if God can use me to set them free, hallelujah. And God wants to use you. And I think this is a message for us, as not just this church, but the church. And we trust him for revival, but revival's in your hands. Yes, we talk about the spoken word, but it's in your hands. And you are the hands of Christ. So will you do that? Amen. So we're going to practice that right now. Who needs hands laid upon them? There's a hand going up there. There's a hand going up here. Can we gather around those that are looking to be prayed for with laying of hands? Can we gather around those that have raised their hands? And let's go with faith. I don't need to pray, but let's gather a few of us around them and let's pray and let's believe. And you pray and you release the power of God. Let's do that. If I can have a musician playing at the back here, playing some music, that will be wonderful. Come, Didier. Thank you. Let's gently just trust God. Those who have raised their hands that want to be prayed for, let's gather around them. There's Sandra at the back there. Can we just pray for the folk there, for Benice, for Karabu? And you pray and you believe. Rob, can you just pray for Sandra over there? Please, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You do that, and you just trust God to flow through you, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. You do it now. Thank you, Lord.
Far.
Just as the worship team's behind us and they continue to pray, I'd like us all to stand. And I just sense the Spirit just saying to, I want you to lay hands upon yourself. And what I want you to do, I want you to lay hands on your head. I want you to lay both hands upon your head. Because at Ephesians 4, for the work of ministry, and I want just you to impart and release that anointing upon you, enabling you for the ministry that he's called you to do. So if you can just, if you're willing to lay your hands on your head, and I'm just going to pray, and you're just going to believe, and we just trust you for that. Father, we just thank you that you've given us this indictment to lay hands, and there's a commissioning. And Lord, from you, we just thank you as we lay hands upon our heads, representing us here this morning and this church. Lord, we release the ministry of Christ in and through us. That Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and that you would guide us into all that you have for us. And we just thank you for that impartation, that reality of your presence within us, the outworking of your reality through us and the power of God released through us to bring glory to your name. So we just thank you, Lord, for through the simplicity of faith, believing you. And we just thank you, Lord, as we have hands laid upon us now, we receive. And we thank you, Lord, as we go into this next season, there'll be an outworking and a manifestation of that now in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. I won't be here. I'm off traveling to Zimbabwe tomorrow. But may you have a wonderful Christmas and may you have a time with your families. Remember to fellowship with one another. We love you dearly. We appreciate you and thank you for everything for this year. But please come and fellowship with us now. We're going to have some tea and coffee together. And those are here for the first time, we'd love you to come and have a cappuccino with us. Thank you, worship team. God bless you all. Thank you.
Before you guys run away, the worship team's got one more surprise for us.
Okay.